Thanks very much. How do I go about advancing? Okay. I just noticed that my title on this slide is title. So anyway, I'm Bill Glass. I'm the Director of Strategic Health Communication Programs at CCP. But before I start, I have to give proper credit because I'm about two generations removed from the people who actually did the work I'm about to present. So as you can tell, I'm not Suruchi Sood. And Suruchi has been a longtime staff member of ours and now is a consultant. And then Atif and Fayaz are associated with our local staff in Pakistan for the program. And Rabia was an intern. Kim Rook and Basel are based in Baltimore for us. And in fact, Suruchi couldn't make it. Basel was going to do this, and now he's in an adjoining room doing a presentation, so he asked me to step in, so I will do my best. So let's see. What I'm about to present is part of the findings from a USAID-supported program called PIMON. Those of you who work in MNCH may know it. It's the initiative for mothers and newborns, which recently ended there. It was led by JSI. We were the communication and demand generation partner, and there you can see many of the other partners. I put them up here not just as formality, but the way that the mobilization strategy was developed for this project, it was a very collaborative affair, so everyone deserves credit. And I won't go through the details of the maternal health background in Pakistan, but suffice to say, it's a challenging environment with 276 out of 100 live births. Representing maternal mortality. Infant mortality is at 78 per thousand. And just socioculturally, there are some challenges with women having limited access to information and services and the country being largely patriarchal. This slide depicts holistically the communication and mobilization strategy on the project. I'm just going to present one very specific piece of it, but I wanted you to see the big picture in that we took a socio-ecological approach to change in Pakistan, coordinating mass media with mobilization to advocacy and interpersonal communication and counseling, which is part and parcel of any powerful, effective social change program. But I'm going to talk to you about one very specific piece of that mobilization process, which is the ulama intervention among religious leaders in Pakistan. You can't see the districts there, but suffice to say, those are the various districts in which this intervention rolled out according to a pilot scale-up and then expansion phase. So by squinting, you can roughly see that it's in the northwest of the country. And we had 9 key audiences for the strategy. The ulama were involved in every bit of the strategy. And the reason this strategy was selected, along with the other social mobilization and mass media interpersonal strategies, is that obviously they're authoritative interpreters of Islamic tradition. So what I hope you'll get by the end here is you'll understand the effectiveness of this type of approach. You'll understand something about the process that we used in establishing and implementing and evaluating, and you'll get a glimpse into the effectiveness of the approach. So this slide is important to show you the in-depth groundwork that was necessary to create a coalition of actors around the maternal health messages that we were trying to inspire. It doesn't take weeks, it doesn't take months, in fact, more than a year, to work our way through the various levels of religious infrastructure within Pakistan. So we worked with the Central Advisory Council, we mapped the ulama at the district level, we created district advisory boards, had sensitization sessions, made field visits, had national conferences, created materials, and then created a parallel platform for exchange among female scholars. So what I'll show you is the result of that long period of groundwork to create buy-in and trust. So here is the process. consultation with the ulama across all major sects, and that all major sects is a very important phrase in my presentation. It's not just one of the sects that we worked with. There was peer contact, then there was compilation of quotations, and then there was, I should say, negotiation so that all viewpoints were respected, and then regardless of views about development issues and organizations, it was very important that by the end of the initiative, the community saw that all sects were involved. And so this is the type; these are the types of methodologies we used to evaluate the intervention. So basically, the intervention was orientation for the ulama, and then they spoke out during sermons, and then we were trying to assess if during all of those sermons were having an impact. So we did in-depth interviews among the ulama, focus group discussions, we observed what was happening, did content analyses, and then did exit interviews with over, let's see, almost 1,200 men at 51 mosques after the intervention. And this slide just shows you, I think, that basically after the intervention, the ulama were indeed addressing many of the key issues in their sermons that we had hoped they would be. And we saw this through content analysis and observation. So for instance, you see the bottom four there, exclusive breastfeeding, preparing for transport, money, and skilled attendance, early initiation of breastfeeding, breastfeeding duration, etc. So it was a sort of qualitative assessment of whether or not people were actually addressing the messages that we'd hoped they would, and indeed they were. And here's just a couple of quotations from some of that those qualitative interactions to show you impact. One is shows you the import that shows you that the ulama understood the importance of maternal and neonatal child health, and also they understood their specific roles. So I'll just quickly read. Regarding the importance, the issue of maternal and child health is an extremely important one. This is integral for a healthy and prosperous society. If a child is raised properly and the mother is healthy to take good care during its upbringing, God willing, the society will improve by itself. So these come from content analyses of the sermons, and then this from focus group discussions. Ulama can play an effective role because people come and pray at mosques 5 times a day, and there's a sizable congregation on the Friday prayer, and the way an alim can promote this issue, it can't be done by a layperson. So just two quick slides on impact, and here I present data based on odds ratios. And boy, I'm not a researcher, but what in preparing for the presentation, basically at our center, we've applied the methodology of odds ratios to social change programming to try to, in essence, compare exposed and unexposed people to see if there was any effect, a higher probability that those exposed would adopt the behavior or attitude that we're trying to inspire. I hope I did well there. When this is played back in the recording, they'll critique me. And so what you see here is a couple of nice trends. So we are comparing in this data no exposure, so there was nothing heard in the sermon, having heard several messages, having heard very many messages. And you see a couple of trends if you look at the odds ratios columns. Those are the AOR columns. One is you see that whether 4 or 6 messages, they were both effective in helping men understand the importance of various MNCH-related issues. The other trend you see is what we call dose response, in that the more messages you got, the more effective the entire program was in terms of your knowledge and attitudes. And in health communication, that's what we love to see. The higher the dose and more messages, more frequency of exposure, the more you're likely to adopt or change attitude. And that's an argument for the impact of our program. So you see all the various attitudes and knowledge measures there on the left. More willing to make arrangements, more understanding of specific arrangements that need to be made to get women to facility-based birth, etc. Here's another slide of impact that I'll show you, the same odds ratio methodology. And again, you don't see as much in this data, although somewhat, that dose response effect that you saw in the last one. But certainly you see a statistically significant effect when people are exposed, understanding, for instance, that a newborn should be given first bath after 6 hours, that it's necessary for a newborn to be breastfed, that breast milk is necessary, et cetera, et cetera. There are many strengths and limitations of this research. As I said, there was about 6 methodologies that we used. So it was quite innovative in its design to use these religious interactions almost as group discussions and all kinds of methodologies to try to assess the impact. Certainly local involvement, the use of a focal point person that could inspire the involvement of that particular sect in the program, reaching the most at need. I think I showed you the depiction of the districts where this happened, and as you know, over the past few years in Pakistan, it's been a difficult operating environment for the project generally, and this initiative was one of the only ones that had continuity over time throughout the program, because it was based on an infrastructure that never goes away no matter how much unrest or risk there is, people go to prayer. And so many of the other program interventions were interrupted, but not this one. And of course, men's participation, which is what we're all striving for in various programs. Many limitations. It was a secondary audience of the program, not necessarily mothers. We weren't able to measure impact on maternal health. The size of the intervention is not massive, time constraints, and obviously the political environment constrains these findings. So a few quick lessons learned, that if we're careful about selecting our implementation partner, we're more likely to be successful. So here, the coalition of all sects. It needs to evolve over time. We need to be blunt about our message and focus on the saving lives message. That it's at times controversial to address things like family planning in the way that we normally address them. Need to strategically use our materials, build a sense of ownership among the ulama, and then model. This model has now been adopted and adapted for other interventions such as UNICEF's polio program. So it's not a tailor-made strategy that can just be adopted whole cloth, but the sense of networking and involving religious leaders maybe are the two key issues I hope you take away from the presentation, that it's not about any one religious leader, it's a network, and religious leaders can't be left out when we're dealing with MNCH issues. And so here are the folks that really deserve the credit for all this hard work. So Basil Safi, he's our head of Asia programs. You can reach him through there if you're interested more about the program. Suruchi, the researcher, you see her contacts. And then Fayaz, our dynamic and lovely country director, he can be reached through that that email address there. I believe that's the end. Uh-huh. And plenty of downloads you can reach through our jhuccp.org website, search for Paimon in Pakistan. Thank you very much.